answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What we found was there were a lot of bots and ghost students that were costing taxpayers money, and that those loans had gone to people who didn't exist or people who were dead. So we were able to root out a lot of that by this. I call it a simple process, but we've clearly had a lot of work that has been going on, you know, with our IT department, the programs that are being put in to root out this fraud and abuse.
Can you get the money back?
Well, I don't know that we can get the money back. You know, it's really hard to claw back money. But the good news is we're going to prevent it from going out going forward.
Yeah. Again, the horse has left the barn. But there's Education Secretary McMahon saying we found so much evidence of fraud in our education programs, ghost students, dead students, and we're paying out money for them. Various loan programs, $1 billion just in the student loan program. Full fraud. That doesn't happen overnight. And the Democrats, when it started under Biden's watch, they really didn't care. And I'm not sure it started under there. It could have started in the part of the Trump, but we didn't really have enough handle on anything. It could have started in the Obama case in years. I should point out that this fraud is so rampant and been multiplying and multiplying, getting to the bottom of it. We never will. And we will never catch all of those who took part in it. Hopefully, we'll get enough of them. Do you think it'll stop others from trying to defraud the government? If they make it so easy and they don't really need identification to take out a student loan, McMahon pointed out, if you're going to board an airliner, obviously you need to show an ID. You should have to show an ID to take out a student loan to prove that you are who you are, not just bring in a bunch of paperwork. And $1 billion lost just like that. Gone. Which means how many students got cheated out of the possibility of having money at a cheaper rate because of all the fraud? Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, news, analysis, opinion, and education. Later, the White House deputy chief, has an idea about what we need to do about all the illegals in the country and those yet to come. And in particular, we're talking about legal means. He's proposing something that's going to make a lot of folks upset, but I think he's got the right point. And we have seen enough evidence. Yes, this is exactly what we need to do. I'll tell you what the White House chief is proposing to put an end to a lot of the fraud that's encircling our nation and rampant inside our nation. In the meantime, I want to take a moment to remind you we have time still for you to get into the stocking stuffer promotion. Easy to enter. All you need to do is go to News Talk STL, put down your name. We have numerous sponsors providing all kinds of gift cards. I don't mean just one gift card from their location. They're putting dozens in some cases. So the Havana 1961 Restaurant, Trolley Stop Bakery, Whistle Pig Outdoors, Gulf Shores Restaurant and Grill, Small Cakes Cupcakery. They're not just going to put one gift certificate for someone to win. They have multiples. But you can't win any of them if you don't go to News Talk STL and register. And don't forget the grand prize, a $500 gift certificate from Newsetter's Jewelry. This is your opportunity. All you have to do is go, sign up. You'll be notified if you win. But I'll stress again, you have no chance of winning if you don't register. I want to turn back to something that happened the other day with Mississippi Congressman Benny Thompson. He is talking to our Director of Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem, and he makes reference to the attack on the two National Guardsmen in D.C., one of them, the young woman killed, another also shot in the face, still hanging on, and hopefully will fully recover. But Congressman Benny Thompson absolutely not just misspoke. He tried to characterize what happened to these National Guard troops That's an accident.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident.
No, it wasn't.
That occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrible
attack. No, wait, wait. Look, I'll get it straight.
Yeah.
And you can
respond. He shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Mr. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question? It was an unfortunate situation.
An unfortunate accident, then it was an unfortunate situation. It was a terrorist attack on members of our National Guard. And you know, while he might well have said, well, I didn't misspeak, I think it was a mindset. It's the mindset of the left. Troops are in the streets, it's Trump doing this, and what do we need to do to get rid of them? Now, if you ask Congressman Thompson, do you endorse walking up and shooting members of our National Guard in the face because you don't want them on the streets? He'd probably say no. Or then again, the way so many of them wish-wash around, he might say, well, we really don't know if we need them on the street. I mean, whatever excuse they have other than, no, I do not support that. And he has since admitted, after making that statement about as an unfortunate accident, he's admitted, yes, I did misspeak. Now, I was trying to make an entirely separate point. But I'm telling you, it's the mindset many Democrats have. He might not have meant to say the words. And he was questioned when he was on CNN and News Central. He said, oh, well, I just misspoke. So to the credit of the host at that time, she said, you're saying you misspoke. He said, absolutely, absolutely. And then quickly they shifted the conversation to something else. Keep in mind, it was on Thanksgiving Eve. This attack was carried out by an Afghan refugee living in Washington. Washington State, actually, drove all the way across the country to D.C. to target two National Guards members. And shooting them in the face, you're not looking to just wound them. You're looking to kill them. But when he turned to Secretary of Homeland Security Noem, said, this unfortunate accident, I went ballistic. And I still am, as you can tell. And I think it is a mindset. It was a misspoken remark by him. But I'm sure among the Democrats, yeah, it was an accident. There was no accident. It was with intent. A terrorist attack. We have more and more evidence the fraud in Minnesota is not limited to that state. And it's not just involving Somalians. You're seeing it replicated in Maine. In fact, a whistleblower sounds off.
Since September 19th, officers from our Fraud Detection and National Security Directorate, working in teams, have conducted over 1,000 site visits across the Minneapolis-St. Paul area as part of this operation. What they found should shock all of America. Focusing on a list of over 1,000 target cases involving more than 900 individuals, our officers encountered blatant marriage fraud, visa overstays, people claiming to work at businesses that can't be found, forged documents, abuse of the H-1B visa system, abuse of the F-1 visas, and many other discrepancies. Over the course of the operation, our officers found indication of fraud, noncompliance, or public safety and national security concerns in nearly a little less than 50% of the cases interviewed. We found troubling patterns with the Uniting for Ukraine program that should have raised serious concerns under other administrations, such as an individual filing to sponsor more than 100 aliens and organizations sponsoring hundreds. We are continuing to investigate these cases.
Yeah, they're continuing to do it under the Twin Shield effort to wipe out and put an end to the fraud, but a lot of it's already taken place. And there are questions about how much Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota is tied into it. Her Republican challenger that's come forward to challenge her going into the midterm election, he's convinced that she has deep, deep ties to the Somalian community and in the not just the community, but the actual crime. In fact, he said, where did this actually start? She passed legislation. Her legislation actually started and allowed people to get into feeding our future. If you look at back where the fraud is, it's primarily for her 5th congressional district. It's really odd to think that, you know, all the fraud just happened in a particular area and using a bill that she in particular put together. That 2020 Meals Act that she also introduced got bipartisan support. Who wants to vote against giving food to those who are in need? They know where the buttons are. More examples of what the Twin Shield investigation uncovered.
In one case, officers identified an alien who had overstayed his visa waiver, who was the son of a known or suspected terrorist on the no-fly list. He had previously been found to have engaged in marriage fraud, which resulted in the denial of several immigration benefit requests. He was arrested and is now presently being returned to his country of origin. In another, an individual admitted to obtaining a fake death certificate in Kenya for just $100 to prove he was no longer married. In reality, his wife is alive, living here in Minneapolis, and is the mother of 5 of his children. And incidentally, he has another wife living in Sweden with whom he has an additional 3 children. In another case, an alien entered the United States without inspection in 2023, was released by Border Patrol. The alien married a U.S. citizen while in removal proceedings and was interviewed at the Minneapolis-St. Paul USCIS field office just last week, where both he and his American spouse, stated under oath that their marriage was legitimate. The USCIS officers conducting the interview were suspicious. The site visits were authorized the same day. The American spouse ultimately that afternoon admitted the marriage was fraudulent and entered into solely for immigration purposes and withdrew her petition for that alien.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have done it, and they would have continued down that road if you weren't asking questions and putting pressure on them. In Maine, a whistleblower coming out of the welfare department in Maine says, I could see this happening. I could not get these people out of here. But what was that to do? I blew the whistle and it continued. And they were handing out money left and right in every direction. As he said, it was like the doctor's office giving out lollipops. Come on in, I'll give you a lollipop. I don't care what you need or not. Take a lollipop. Enjoy. And then we have, in addition to Minnesota, an Ohio attorney said Minnesota was just the tip of the spear. She said many in the Somali community of Ohio confided to her that they've been pressured to join a massive Medicare fraud scheme. Doctors rubber stamping home health care payouts to the family members for fake medical conditions. Members of the Somali community being pressured. And who's going to call them out? You are a racist. You are a racist if you call them out. Well, the Somalians in that area have put out a TikTok video trying to change the narrative, trying to talk about all of the good things we do and trying to paint their community in a better light, which I would understand. A Minnesota TV station outlines it.
You've seen the videos of ICE agents flooding Minnesota and heard the president's controversial comments.
And we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country.
Combining to create a community living in fear.
If I do interact with federal agents, I know to have my documents and present those documents, which is not something that I ever thought I would have to do.
Salma Hussein is an educator.
I am a Somali American school principal.
And one of several Minnesota Somalis taking part in a new campaign.
I'm a Somali American doctor.
I'm a Somali American risk manager.
I am a Somali American ICU nurse.
I am a Somali American police commander.
Trying to change the narrative.
It's important because there are certain narratives that are currently out there that are untrue.
She and other Somalis in the state got together recently to showcase their professions and humanity.
To let Minnesotans know that we are their neighbors, their colleagues, taxpayers, their principals, lawyers.
I'm a Somali American athlete raised in Minnesota, chasing the Olympic dream.
Nadir is a Somali American marathon runner who says he most recently competed in Olympic trials last February.
We're Somali Americans who are contributing in many aspects of society right now. And, you know, we want to be able to bring attention to that.
Salma says the TikTok video has already received positive engagement, giving a face to a culture.
And that's important because not every Somalian is involved in the fraud. Some might have been pressured into it anyway. Of course, are you not strong enough to say, I'm not going to participate? If you're living in the midst of a community and you're not going along with them, you'll be called out and you will be ostracized and maybe punished in some way. But not every Somalian is involved in it. That should be a fact that you accept. But there are those who are involved. And it's not a racial issue. It's not even an ethnic issue. It's a matter of legal issue. And a former TSA agent says what I saw going to the Minneapolis airport needs to be investigated.
I saw suitcases filled with millions of dollars of cash, and the couriers were always Somali men traveling in pairs. And they got through the checkpoint. It just really absolutely blew my mind the first time you open a suitcase and you see millions of dollars of cash. And typically what would happen is a Leo or a law enforcement officer would come, check their credentials. I don't know what kind of questions they asked them, but their IDs were always documented, and probably their plane tickets as well. So there is a trail of that out there. In the 5 years I was there, I believe $1 billion went through the airport.
$1 billion. As if this isn't troubling enough, Liz, it's not just money you watched leave MSP. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. There was another instance, again, a Somali man that had a carry-on luggage filled with brand new passports. And he was allowed to get through the checkpoint. So where he went with those passports is anybody's guess.
Now, I'm not asking you to try this, but I would wonder if you had several different passports, not you and your picture on it, in your luggage you were going through and they took note of it. Do you think they would hold and detain you and get some detail? And they didn't. They just let the guy go on and board the plane. Apparently made a reference to it and maybe a record of it. We don't know. And $1 million, you go through an airport with all that cash and they notice, they open it up and see it. Do you think you would be allowed to board the plane and continue about your plan to that point? But no doubt TSA and others are cowering because if we do anything, we'll be called racist. Enforce the law. Stephen Miller in the White House says, I have a solution for some of this going on. That's coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MaguireMoving.com.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
People all over the world that are great people. But you look at the society. If Libya keeps failing, if the Central African Republic keeps failing, if Somalia keeps failing, right? If these societies all over the world continue to fail, you have to ask yourself, if you bring those societies into our country and then give them unlimited free welfare, what do we think is going to happen? You're going to replicate the conditions that they left over and over and over again. And we mask the impact of immigration in every public policy issue we discuss.
That's Stephen Miller, White House Deputy Chief of Staff, and he's right on point. He said, if they are leaving countries that are failing, going into the S-hole or H-hole, if whatever you want to call it, they're going to come here and do that to us. They're going to drag us down as they climb over us to get things, even if by fraud. You can't deny not only his statement, but the facts. The Somalia fraud is a perfect example. It's not the only one. Fraud being carried out by native-born Americans had nothing to do with Somalia. And as I've been doing on my commentary earlier today, pointing out that the issue in Minnesota and elsewhere where this is popping up involving Somalias, it's not just a Somalian issue. It is a Democrat issue because they've been willing to accept it. They've encouraged it. They put mechanization in place where folks could just jump on the train, get a free ride. You're pushing others out of the way. Don't care. Don't care. I mean, I'm here and I'm entitled. I'm entitled. And there is another issue right there. We have Americans sometimes thinking they're entitled for whatever just because, and I'd have to see specifics, I would agree or not. Generally, I wouldn't. But Somalians coming in either through asylum or however, whatever means they came in, and especially if they came in illegally claiming that they married a spouse who's here, but in fact they didn't, it's an entitlement that they think they should have. But if they have, in their country, trashed it, to be direct, do we want them in our country trashing our, and they're going to do it if you allow them. Not everyone coming in would do it. That's not their intent. They want to have a better life. You have to always keep that in mind. We look at it from, we were born with a golden spoon in our mouth. We are blessed. And we don't mind helping others as long as they play by the rules and they don't hurt others. But these folks, many of them involved in these schemes, they don't care. And if sometimes they're involved, maybe because they're forced or threatened in their own community, that's like being extorted by the mafia. But even worse inside if you're living next to them. But Stephen Miller points out something the New York Times alluded to. In fact, not just alluded to, but made very clear the other day.
that it is part of the DNA of the Somali culture to cheat, to scam. That's from the New York Times. Stephen Miller on what these immigrant groups end up doing.
So you see with a lot of these immigrant groups, not only is the first generation unsuccessful, again, Somalia is a clear example here, not only is the first generation unsuccessful, but you see persistent issues in every subsequent generation. So you see consistent high rates of welfare use, consistent high rates of criminal activity, consistent failures to assimilate. But this shouldn't be a surprise. It's just common sense. If Somalians cannot make Somalia successful, why would we think that the track record would be any different in the United States? Go third world country by third world country.
It wouldn't be. And I want to point out again, we're not just talking about Somalia, we're talking about any of those inside this country, legally or illegally, they're trying to scam our government. And even if they're American citizens, I call them out. They've announced that they've arrested a guy out of Venezuela who's been here illegally, part of the MS-13 gang, and they apparently say he was a hired hitman responsible for four murders. He was being held in a prison. But he bribed the guards, he got out. Now he's in our country. Now we got him back in custody. And in that case, they weren't just going to scam people. They were going to kill as they needed to. They walk among us. We have, obviously, because of this, they want to call you or me racist if we go after it because it's a Somalian. That's not the point. It's law and order. Do not be cowered into the corner for that. These immigrant groups that are now looking to use our own government against us, weaponizing it in different ways, it needs to be backed up, stopped, turned around, sent back. Stephen Miller says they have generations yet to follow them. And he also points out, look at the result of when they come in. What ends up happening?
We talk about test scores. If you subtract immigration out of test scores, all of a sudden, our test scores skyrocket. If you subtract immigration out of healthcare, all of a sudden, we don't have nearly the size of the healthcare challenges our country faces. If you subtract immigration out of public safety, all of a sudden, we don't have violent crime in so many of our cities. Issue after issue, we talk about these things that just they just happen to us. The schools just suddenly fail. Violent crime just suddenly explodes. The deficit just suddenly skyrockets. These are a result of social policy choices that we made through immigration.
Yep. We made the choice, so there's what you get. You shouldn't be surprised if you bring them in with that. We end up with lower test scores. Everything else goes upside down for Americans because these immigrant groups are going to copy what they already knew, and subsequent generations raised here in our nation will fall right into that. This is what we do. And if you dare call it out, you have to be a racist. Come on. Is there any way you could call it out and not be a racist? Is there any way we can call it out and not be called a racist by those on the other side? They're going to weaponize whatever they can. Anything they can do to have you back up, leave us alone. We're not hurting anybody. Yes, you are hurting. And certainly if you're in the process of killing or shipping more drugs through, all of this works against Americans. And if you stop and think that if Trump had not won this last election, I shudder to think about this. This would have continued. You think Kamala would have done anything to stop it? She would have brought gasoline to the fire. Let's have a party. And excited about, through her ego, that she's going to get a bust of herself in the U.S. Capitol. She probably will at some point. First black woman vice president, probably will. Not because she earned it, but because she schemed her way into it. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. That's another appreciative note we need to write for you. Now, Stephen Miller has said, I've got a proposal. I've got a proposal as to what we need to be doing. And when he says this, a lot of folks are going to, no, that might be a step too far. Is it?
Clearly, we need to have in this country exactly what President Trump called for, which is that we need a moratorium on immigration from third world countries until we can heal ourselves as a nation, solve our education issues, solve our healthcare issues, our public safety issues, our assimilation issues, our cultural issues. So the 1924 Act is such a good example because, so we had large-scale immigration from Europe from 1880 to 1920. So in other words, we went from a country that had immigration from part of Europe to immigration from many other parts of Europe. But even other European countries pose enormous stresses on the U.S. system, both economically and in terms of security. There's a lot of crime, a lot of threats to public safety and order, and those were addressed with very strict new immigration quotas. What they don't teach you in school is that from 1920 to 1970, there was negative migration. There was a half century of negative migration. The foreign-born population declined by 40% for half a century. During that same time period, Will, the U.S. population doubled from natural childbirth. That was the cauldron in which a unified shared national identity was formed.
And those were backing America, not looking to cause chaos and destroy it. They were either assimilating or had assimilated. His projection, or rather his solution, a moratorium on immigration from third world countries, I second that. And with immigration paused in regarding some countries already, as you well know, they're scrambling to, how do we get back on that train to get to America? In Afghanistan, Afghans in the U.S. and abroad urgently are seeking options because immigration got paused and they were ready to come in. And maybe some of them were going to come in and assimilate. But others were coming in to grab what they could at your expense. If you go to any country and you try any of the CRAP they've been exercising here, you would be behind bars the rest of your life. Here, you get praised by the Democrats. And here's another. Just unbelievable.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw, Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, every year Time Magazine comes out with a Man of the Year. Well, there's a conglomerate they put on the Time Magazine now, and they're absolutely ignoring someone who deserves the Time Man of the Year. It's not Trump. I'm not taking anything away from him, but there's someone else that should have been there. But political optics and the leftist approach to the Time Magazine, it didn't happen. I'll get to that in more detail a little bit later. But while I'm speaking about Time Magazine, when I was in high school, I brought a lot of magazines in the house. And I was reading a lot of them, and we already had one delivered to the house, U.S. News and World Report. That's the only magazine Dad had coming into the house, unless it was a hunting or fishing magazine. So I brought in Time once, and Dad blew a gasket. That's a piece of rubbish. I don't want this house. Well, I still continue to read it, pick it up outside Dad's sight, just want to see what's in it, and compare it to U.S. News and World Report as to how they were doing stories. Even back then, in the ancient age, you could see how they were beginning to groom those to follow them, except the Time approach, lefty-leaning. Now we got the Associated Press coming up with an approval rating regarding Donald Trump. I'd mentioned this the other day, but it was not clear to me as to where they came up with this. And I'm looking at this, and I still have questions about it. The Associated Press had a new survey out, and they say Trump's approval rating on the economy is 31%, the lowest it's been across both of his terms so far as president. 31%. 68% of voters surveyed, including 44% of Republicans, say the economy is in poor shape. Poor shape? Is that the way you see it? Now, I don't want to take away from any hardships you have and what you're dealing with. That's your life, your family. And yes, I know some folks that they're not going out as often. They're not buying the most fancy gifts they might have done in the past. That's part of just life and economics in general, but they're looking for a way to skewer Trump. Half of Americans say it's hard, according to the survey, it's harder than usual to afford holiday gifts this year. Again, I don't know their particular stance, their situation. Not saying they make it up, but then again, they have about half saying they're cutting back on non-essential purchases more than usually would. Well, I've done that. Maybe I won't go buy something that I don't really need. And a vast majority report seeing higher prices for grocery and electricity, a vast majority. Groceries are up in some areas, yes, depending on what you're buying. Electricity, I haven't seen my electric bill change that much. And if you look at the gas pumps, it should not have been changed that much. There's a win at that point, which is a key part of our lives. But they're saying this is stressing and emphasizing affordability issues that Trump is failing, and it could affect his reelection, not his reelection, but going into the midterms for those up for it, running on his coattails. Then they point out the survey's findings suggest the holiday season is colliding with lingering high prices as inflation remains sticky. That's their point. Americans walking into stores, logging onto shopping websites, feeling poorer, not richer than a year ago. I can't tell you how you feel. You know how you feel and what you're going through. But I really question that we have that many Americans truly thinking the economy is going south. And I go back to a central core issue. That'd be gas prices, gasoline prices. If they're where they are right now, if the situation is bad as they want you to believe it is, and you had the Biden, Joe Biden gas prices, yeah, I'd say yes, we're in definitely deep doo-doo. Chuck Schumer, by the way, was questioned yesterday on CNN, Joe Scarborough. about the government shutdown hurt so many people. And Chuck Schumer said, the government shutdown hurts people so much, but now people see who's on their side. Oh, I see. You were carrying out your shutdown to punish those that support Trump. That's really what you're saying, isn't it? And Joe Scarborough said, let's circle back here, Senator. You caught a lot of grief because you weren't able to stop a handful of Democrats that decided to reopen the government. But you said at the time, politically, we have won this battle. I didn't want the government to reopen, but we have won this battle politically. That's Joe Scarborough speaking to Chuckie Schumer. Schumer said, well, Joe, no one likes a shutdown. It hurts people so much. The shutdown was actually caused by Trump and Republicans refusing to negotiate with us. Don't buy that lie. But that's what he said. But you're exactly right. Now people see who's on their side. Who brought lower gas prices to your pump? How many Democrats lined up to make that happen? Bueller? Anybody? Not getting a response there. Then you got Chuckie Schumer going forward. We're going to have to vote with our feet and our voices and our protest. We got to extend all the health care credits. Don't plunge us into a health care crisis. You need to get on our bill. Our bill today is the last train out of the station for Republicans. Do not buy what he's trying to sell you. Send him over to Chuck E. Cheese for a party. And he'll be just happy. Now, one thing that would possibly help, and we know would help, on several levels, loan rates, interest rates, credit card, or mortgage rates. You would like a lower rate for your mortgage, right? Of course. Well, Trump is trying to achieve that for you. The White House Deputy Chief of Staff, James Blair.
Well, look, I think all of our economic advisors have made very clear that they believe that there is room for more. The president has made no secret of saying that Jerome Powell was too late to raise the rates originally under Joe Biden and actually tame inflation when it was racing. Remember, he called inflation transitory. They said inflation wasn't a problem. Of course, it was a problem. They let it become the highest inflation we've had in this country ever, minimum the last 40 years. And then obviously he's again too late to lower the rates. So the president's made very clear that he wants lower interest rates. He wants people to have access to capital so they can buy their cars, they can buy their homes, we can get the economy moving. This is really just a result of, you know, them moving too slowly around there. They've missed the forest through the trees the whole time. And again, today's, I think, an example of that. But hopefully we'll get new leadership and we'll be able to move quickly.
Yeah, that would be great if we get new leadership and moving quickly. Trump can't do it all by himself. You do understand that. But that's what he wants to see happen. If only he could get there. By the way, Speaker Mike Johnson, when asked about, what do you think about Democrat Jasmine Crockett in Texas running for Senate in Texas? And he said, I'm absolutely delighted. He said the voters in Texas will ultimately reject the one he's now describing as the face of the Democrat Party. Rubbing his hands together in excitement, said, I'm absolutely delighted. I think it's one of the greatest things that's happened to the Republican Party in a long time. She and Mondami, good luck with that. I want her to have the largest, loudest microphone she can every day. We look forward to that election. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it not? White House Chief of Staff, by the way, Susie Wiles has been named to Forbes 2025 list of the world's most powerful women. Most powerful. That's pretty impressive. Can't deny that. Susie Wiles. She ranked at 66 on the 2025 world's most powerful list. She is an historic first female White House chief of staff as of January 2025. Had a big role in co-chairing Trump's 2024 election campaign. Previous edition of the list included former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Hillary Benghazi Clinton, I will not forget that. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. Former Vice President Kamala Harris. Harris did appear on the 2023 list, not included in 2024. after her defeat in that year's presidential election. But Susie Wiles, named the Forbes 2025 list of the world's most powerful women. Time magazine, I'd mentioned this at the beginning of the segment, is out with its, quote, Man of the Year. And Brianna Lineman from The Federalist points something out that I want to reinforce. Time magazine decided to take several of the tech biggies and the bosses and say, these guys are deserving as Man of the Year for what they're doing for tech and everything else. And she points out they are ignoring the real story of the year and the man that should be recognized as Man of the Year, not all these tech moguls. And she said, if Time magazine were not so corrupt, it would have made the person of the year being Charlie Kirk. And I agree. But as she said, Time magazine is corrupt. In her column for Federalist, she says, faced with the choosing the most obvious, consequential, energizing figure in American life, political life, or a group of tech elites advancing AI technology, Time magazine chose the latter, snubbing the great late Charlie Kirk for person of the year. That is right in your face. They walked away from the man that's going to have a lot of impact and has had, unfortunately, by his death and will continue. Not only through Turning Point USA, but his wife, Erica, as she continues to move forward. But Brianna Lineman in this column for Federalist points out, honoring Charlie would require the editors to acknowledge what the rest of the country already knows. That is, one man, Charlie Kirk, reshaped the political landscape amongst the next generation of Americans. He wasn't just one man that got shot down. He had a movement, and it will continue. In fact, she goes on and says, Charlie did not merely influence politics. He changed his trajectory so much that President Trump has frequently credited Charlie with helping deliver the critical youth vote in the 2024 election. She continued writing, saying, at a time when the old guard of the Republican establishment all but locked genuine conservatives out, young men were being ignored because of the nation's obsession with radical feminism. And I would also add to her remarks, all the DEI transgender nonsense being shoved in your face. Charlie did what no one else would or could. He built a national youth movement, engaging and activating college students all across the nation. He helped bring young men that the left assumed were theirs forever, pulled them out of the liberal circles and enclaves, and put them on good, strong conservative ground. Charlie Kirk did that. But she continues saying, apparently that was not impressive enough for Time magazine. Not impressive enough. So they chose a group of tech elites rather than focus on the real story of the year. Obviously, Charlie's assassination on September 10, Utah Valley campus in front of hundreds of students. That one bullet took the life, she says, of one of the greatest political figures in American history. Now, we never know how much greater he could have been, how much more he could have done for our young people, for our nation as a whole, because someone did not want free speech. You know, I have not made an effort to find it, but it should have been right in my face. I have not seen that many, if any, of the leftists coming out after the Charlie Kirk shooting, condemning the shooting. Did you? Maybe I had my head focused on another thing, but I did not see, I can't recall any of the leftists, especially the elite leftists, coming out and saying, no, that's not the way we do things in America. We don't kill someone who has a plan to speak other than what we want to hear. She adds that the choice shouldn't be surprising given that Time is a left-wing propaganda outlet. Time did not choose Charlie Kirk as person of the year because they desperately want to erase and ignore his influence. that he had and still has, because his movement continues to grow and directly threatens the left-wing woke apparatus that dominates mainstream media. She said, in selecting Charlie Kirk as Person of the Year, Time would have to acknowledge the titan that Charlie and his movement is up to, but it's no benefit to Time and their political persuasion. It would have pained them, but it might have restored their credibility. As I said the other day, once you lose credibility, it's going to be very hard to get back. New applications for Turning Point chapters across colleges are flooding in. Charlie is dead, but his legacy and movement is not. As always, I thank you for listening. Share and tell friends to step in and listen. Learn. What did you learn over the last 2 hours? I wish you a great weekend. Class will be back in session come Monday at 6. I expect you to be in place. As always, thank you for your support. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.